Learning how to manage your money is such an important skill, but over time, people develop bad habits that keep them from building wealth.
Yeah, so Peter is a certified financial planner. I received my master's in finance, and we've both made it a career to helping individuals become financially successful. And mm-hmm. so we've seen all type of different individuals with all type of different financial problems. And so we wanted to share the 7 money habits that are holding you back and tips how to fix them.
Number one is paying yourself last. I think this is a habit we both have seen where oftentimes people, when they get their paycheck in their bank, they'll pay their rent, they'll pay their mortgage, they buy groceries, maybe they go on a trip. And the last thing they think about doing is, hey, if there's money left over, I guess I saved this month. And if not, oh well.
No, you got to pay yourself.
Yeah.
Like ideally, I would say minimum, you want to have at least 10% of your income automatically being saved into an investment account, bank account,
yes,
something where you're actually setting money aside. But that target number that we like is probably closer to, say, 20%.
And I think the big fix for this is automation, right? It could be setting up a different direct deposit from your paycheck to go to a different bank. It could be doing something from your own bank and just making sure, okay, here's my $200 a month. I'm taking this out. I cannot spend this money. But automating really helps.
Or the big one, the 401k.
Number two, you don't have a budget.
Yeah, you need a budget. You need to know exactly where you're spending your money. So research shows that people underestimate what they're actually spending by 25 to 30%.
Yeah, and anecdotally, that's what we've both seen as well when you're trying to talk to individuals, how much money are you spending? Mm-hmm. People are almost always undershooting that number.
Yeah, so you got to track it, whether that's through an app, whether that's through Excel, even if you have to manually write it down, track what money is coming in, what money is going out, categorize them through this is your daily housing, this is your vacation, this is going to be your car expenses. But you need to know exactly where your money is going if you're going to have some type of an idea in terms of what should you actually be saving per month.
Yeah, and if you're somebody that sounds intimidating for, if you follow step one and fixing that habit where you pay yourself first, that's a great way to reverse budget. And now you know I've hit my savings, and now I can spend what's left over. And it's a little bit more of a relaxed, stress-free way to do it. But you have to know these numbers.
Yeah. So number three is lifestyle creep. So we see this a lot with our clients.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, so you start to move up that corporate ladder, or you start to increase your income, your business is doing better, something. And instead of people actually saving more, which is step number one, they start spending more. And they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And that is a big, big reason why people just can't get ahead. And they can't reach their financial targets.
Really understanding and setting a savings goal again of, as my income goes up, I want to increase my savings.
Yeah.
Obviously, depending on your income, you'll have different amounts that you can save. If somebody's earning $50,000, there's certain limits to how much you can save versus somebody earning 7 figures. So I think the fix to lifestyle creep is maintain this goal of I'm increasing my savings rate. Number four, you don't have cash savings.
Yeah.
Large majority of people can't afford about 40% of people can afford a $1,000 emergency bill. And this causes a huge amount of stress, and it lacks financial flexibility for people if you don't have some sort of cash buffer. I feel like every week we talk about cash savings and an emergency fund.
We do.
But that's how crucial it is. This is step one of your finances, is get some sort of cash buffer to make sure you're going to be okay. And that brings us to number five. You've got credit card debt.
Yes. So credit card debt is holding. If you have credit card debt and you're holding a balance month over month over month, it is holding you back.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You need to pay that off, and you need to get out from underneath that debt and then not go back into it.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Average American has about $6,000 of credit card debt, and the average interest being paid on that is just over 20%. That is brutal how that's going to continue to build and hold you back from other financial goals like building wealth.
Yeah, you're not going to build wealth if you have credit card debt.
You've got to break this bad habit of thinking, I'll pay for it later. We very much view, if you're using credit cards, use it and make sure you have it on auto pay and it pays off that balance each month. Don't believe the myths that carrying a balance helps your credit score.
It
hurts your credit score.
It does.
Don't do it. If you really can't pay for this in cash, you really can't afford it.
100%. So next up on this list, we have you're not investing enough. If you want to build wealth, I think bottom line, you need to have equity in some type of an investment.
Whether that's some type of asset, for sure.
Whether that's your house, whether that's a business, whether that's in the stock market, you need to have equity somehow.
Yeah, you can't save your way to financial independence. You know, when we think of these saving targets of, hey, 10% or 20%, just saving and putting that in cash in a bank account, long term, you're not going to build financial independence and really true wealth. Right. You have to invest in something that's going to grow and compound. And the earlier you do that, the better. Everybody thinks, oh, I'll wait till once I get to this salary or once I get this job change, then I'll start investing.
Bonus or whatever.
I'm not in the place to invest right now. I can't do it. I've got other things to do. But delaying really hurts. And when you look at people that are investing, starting earlier, you can contribute less than if you start later and still end up with exponentially more wealth later in life.
Yeah. Time can be your friend when it comes to creating wealth, or time can be your enemy.
And that brings us to number seven. You make emotional decisions.
Yeah. This is our world, definitely. We see this a lot.
Yeah, it's tough. Money's emotional. We're all human beings, and we see everything from people investing based off of fear, selling out of markets, you know, going to cash in a 401k during 2008.
They're worried about a market crash.
Yeah, listening to everybody in the media and talking heads and social media and just panicking, and that's driving your decision making.
Where, you know, vast majority of time, it does not work out. It's a great way to destroy your wealth, you know, in actuality. Yeah. So it's obviously like decision making and keeping your emotions in check is a very critical aspect when it comes to creating long-term wealth for yourself.
Yeah. And there have been Nobel Prizes recently won in behavioral finance, which is this relatively new subject of how we make decisions, what drives them. And what they've seen is that it's really tough to separate your money decision from your emotions. And you have to, though, try to take a step back. Take an objective look at these decisions and go, okay, here's where I am. Here's the decisions I'm making. Yeah. Does this make sense? Is there data to support this choice? And you really have to try to break these habits.
Yeah, easier said than done. I mean, you could spend a lifetime trying to do this.
Oh, yeah, so especially the emotional side, because you just don't notice it. You don't notice these biases we all have, whether it's hindsight bias and recency bias and overconfidence when it comes to, oh, I know this stock is going to do great because I feel good about it.
Yeah, or I work in this sector. I know exactly how this industry works, so therefore I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket and buy nothing but this sector.
Yep. Overconfidence bias.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's not the way it's going to work, so you have to try to take an objective look.
Well, that's all that we have for today. We do appreciate your time and effort. We are fiduciary financial planners. We work at a firm called Bull Oak Capital. So if you'd like to learn more about us, feel free to reach out to us, and then we'll see you next time.
Thanks.